Well, God bless you. I wanted to play that song accidentally because, you know what? There is a divine design to the creation. Darwin may have had his theories about evolution, but for those of us who understand a little bit more anyway about God and his word, our perspective is quite different. And so, you know, the earth was designed to physically support man. God made the earth for mankind. All of the heavenly bodies, the animals, the fruits of the trees, these are all made for man. And so the reason for the earth is man. So then what we have to ask is the reason for man? God. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, start right there. And so I hope to broaden our perspective a little bit of this earth that we're so kind of acclimatized to and part of the day-to-day routines of all that we're involved in, that there is a far greater divine design than maybe we see all the time. Anyway, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And God created man for himself so that he could have companionship, so that he could have children with whom to communicate. If you look at Psalm chapter 8, verse 5, or just listen along, there's a great piece of revelation of the position that God has given his sons and daughters in his particular plan. And in Psalm 8, 5, it says, for thou hast made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him, man, with glory and honor. And this word translated angels is a word you're maybe somewhat familiar with. It's Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for God. So what this psalm is really telling us is that God made man a little lower than himself. That's really how well-placed man was intended to be. And what that demonstrates, the greatness of man is the pinnacle of God's creation. There's a great book by E.W. Kenyon called The Father and His Family. Maybe some of you have read that. But there's a passage in that book that I think is worth reading or rereading. And he noted the record of a well-known astronomer who was discussing with his son the influence of the heavenly bodies on the earth. And this is what he says. I have noticed that at certain times the earth is lifted out of her orbit or path by an unseen body lying beyond the reach of our most powerful telescope. If ever they build a larger telescope, I wish you would go and search the heavens to find out what it is that so affects this planet of ours. Well, when the Great Lick Observatory was reared with its powerful telescope, this sun traveled across sea and continent, and one clear night turned the giant telescope against the dark space in the heavens where this unseen, uncharted planet reached down its mighty hand and gripped the earth. After gazing a while, suddenly there appeared a tiny speck of light. It was a star swinging in its giant orbit away out on the frontier of the universe. He saw the planet that had so strangely affected the Earth. It was millions of miles beyond the farthest star that the human eye had ever seen. Yet this giant star sweeping on its great orbit came regularly over every few years, close enough to our planet so that it could reach its mighty hand of gravitation down through the unmeasured space and grip our little Earth and lift it out of its orbit. As a ship on the ocean responds to the slightest touch of the helm, our Earth responds to the touch of that distant sentinel and veers swiftly out of its course. Then, when the planet's grip is loosed, back into its path it comes and goes rhythmically on its way. This establishes one fact, that there is neither planet, nor sun, nor moon, nor star in all of the vast universe, but has its influence upon this little planet of ours. How it thrills the heart to realize that this Earth of ours, so small that 1,000 of them can be lost in the sun, is the center and the reason for the universe. Tonight, this old Earth of ours is being held as safely in the embrace of those uncounted and uncharted planets as a child in its mother's arms. The heavens are tonight Earth's only perfect timepiece. No watch or clock ever built by man can give us perfect time. But he who knows the path of the stars knows that every star or sun or planet will pass a certain given point in this great unpassed space on schedule time. The star may not have been seen for thousands of years, but she will appear at the crossroads of the heaven, not 1 second ahead, nor 1 second behind her schedule. Oh, the wonder of the architect, the marvel of the creator, the might of the sustainer of this great universe of ours. If the Earth is the reason for the stellar heavens, what is the reason for the Earth? Before the morning stars sang their first anthem to the heart of the lonely Father God, before the foundations of the earth were laid, before the first rays of light ever passed through the dark expanse, the heart of the great Creator God had a yearning, deep, mighty, and eternal. It was the primordial passion for children. The Father heart of the Creator God longed for sons and daughters. This yearning passion took form, and God planned a universe for his man, and in the heart of that universe, he purposed a home. There's no time with God. Time belongs to day and night, to sun and moon. The omnipotent God was not hampered by days or nights nor years. When love laid the foundations of this mighty universe he planned, he purposed it all to be the home of his man. It was to be man's birthplace, man's garden of delight, man's university, where he would learn to know his Father God, end quote. And God said that the earth is the reason for the universe. God's perspective is a little broader than ours, would you say? I mean, we have a tendency to kind of get off and get caught up in the day-to-day. You know, how am I going to get this bill paid? How am I going to do that? Get up, go to work on these. Now, wait a second. We're talking about, you know, raising the bar here a little bit. So God said that the earth is the reason for the universe, and guess what? Man is the reason for the earth, and God is the reason for the man. And so why did God do all this? Well, the reason is very simple. Because God wanted sons to love him, and he wanted daughters to love him, not by compulsion, not out of necessity, but because of their desire to do so. And God set the great example because he so loved that he gave, so that we in turn can love him and live our lives for him. See, the heart of God yearns for children. He craves sons and daughters who will freely love him. Before God had children, he had angels to minister him as servants. But you know what? He wanted children. So with love's wonderful guiding hand, God prepared the earth and the heavens for his children. Everything in the earth and in the universe is for the person who is God's child. Unbelievers, yeah, they partake of the blessings of the universe and of the earth. But these blessings were not designed for unbelievers. The blessings were designed for God's children. If God so wanted children and so loved sons and daughters that he spent ages in preparation for them, then really what a wonderful place those children must hold in his heart and in his eternity. You, tonight, as a believer, a son or daughter of God, are the culmination of God's dream because you are God's man. You are God's woman. The earth was made for you. You were made for God. He is your Father who loves you. This truly is God's blueprint of creation. That was what his design was to do, to create this wonderful environment where man could be supported and taken care of. And I think that as we learn to grow in our appreciation and understanding of the scriptures, and then by allowing God to reveal himself to us, then, you know, we begin to even understand more about the heart of a loving God. Like in 1 John 3, it says, you know, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But, hey, we're here in the here and now. And God, who, if God isn't loving, God is love. He doesn't have to force himself to take loving actions because that is the nature of God. And so when we got born again, according to 1 Peter, it says we became partakers of the divine nature. Therefore, we have the capability of expressing that same kind of love unconditionally, first of all, for ourselves, because the word says about you shall love your neighbor, what? As yourself. So, you know, you have to have a great love for yourself. But when you love God and see things from God's perspective, then it's a better opportunity then to really love yourself and work, I use that term loosely, but to believe in who you really are and to believe that you really are loved. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. God takes you just as you are right in this very moment with all your weakness, all your inadequacies, all your strengths, because God is the great one. There's a great verse in John chapter 10. Maybe we just take a quick look. I'll see if I can find it exactly where I put that piece of paper. But I was looking for it. It's in John chapter 10. Oh, here it is. John chapter 10, verse 29. This is a very cool verse of scripture. And I'm going to encourage you, well, first of all, Jesus came, part of his mission was to declare who God was and to declare God to the people to which he was ministering to, that God was their Father. This was an unheard of concept. It was radical. It was revolutionary. And it so incited the religious hierarchy that they actually took steps to kill Jesus, because by saying God was his Father, it put him on an equal footing with his Father. And what I just said there is in John chapter 1, verse 18, about him declaring who God is. But in John chapter 10, verse 29, there are six words in a verse there which you can read through yourself, but John 10, 29. And I just would like to put this into your mind where it says, what does it say exactly, Shelley?
John 10, verse 29.
Yeah.
My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand.
Yeah, amen. Those six words right there are some of the most powerful words in the Bible. And I recommend that the next time you come up against something that seems to be greater than you, that maybe you would say these words to yourself or out loud. You know what? My Father is greater than all. Oh, really? Greater than debt, greater than finances, greater than problems, greater than any opportunity, any problem anybody could have? My Father, it says, is greater than all. Believe me, God is far greater than your earthly father. And I don't know what kind of relationship you had with him. But sometimes we carry on those traditions and characteristics that we were raised with by our earthly father. And, you know, quite frankly, like in my situation, I was in a, you know, an adoptive home, and I loved my parents, but they never told me they loved me. As far as I can ever remember, those words were never spoken in the house. So you can see how easily that would be to carry into a spiritual relationship when you're talking about a father, because you relate that to kind of some of the physical connections that you have. So, you know, kind of to come to a point where you believe that God really loves you, you don't even sure really what that means, because it's never really been even expressed to you in a physical way by an earthly father. And so for some of us, it's taken time to learn and to grow and to develop the understanding that God's love for us is not conditioned by us. It's not conditioned by how we act, how we behave, how we think, how we do whatever it is we do. God's love is just pure. It's just unconditional. He's like the forgiving father. You know, he's always looking for us to turn to him, because he will always be there. So, you know, beyond the expanse of the universe and all these things that God did to, you know, get us to this point, the thing that God has really desired to have is that companionship and that fellowship. And so, you know, it urges us in our hearts to turn towards God and to speak to God and to open our hearts and our lives up to him. And here's the cool thing about that. God talks back. So if we tell God, I've got this going on or that going on or whatever, you know what? My Father is greater than all. He's got solutions. He's got wisdom. He's got direction. He's got a way to get to us what it is we need, so it's peacefully entreated, so we don't always feel like we're rolling, like, let's say, a snowball uphill. There have got to be better ways than just having to participate so much in the, and I'm not saying life is not, doesn't have struggles in it, but in partnership with God, maybe those struggles can be come to a realization, a completion, long before somebody who doesn't have a relationship with God would have to struggle through. I hope you're getting my point. My Father is greater than all. Reading these things, and by the way, that was a reading I did from a book from years ago called Order My Steps in Thy Word, and it was called Our Blueprint for Creation. But I wanted to read that just to give us a little broader perspective of all the things that God has done to get us to this point in this relationship. And so, like someone once said, God has already moved. What are you going to do? It's a level playing field. God has already done so much on our behalf. And all he's doing is imploring us to engage in the relationship, because he's not going to force it on us. He's just saying, engage. Talk to me. Love me. Share your heart with me. I have things I want to tell you, things that you don't understand completely, maybe about yourself, maybe about your past, maybe about family. God has given us the Spirit of God to be able to hear from him and to walk with him, not have to be smart enough to try to figure out everything with our own brain cells and everything. We work in partnership with him. He's created this environment for us to live successfully, but that success is going to be conditioned by are embracing the relationship that we have been called to do. And if this is something that is new to you, then I would just urge you to get quiet at some point in time and just start talking to God and then listening to what God is saying to you. And maybe that's as simple as, God, do you love me? And then hearing what God has to say, or, you know, starting the conversation so you become more adept. We all become more adept at distinguishing the voice of God. Because, I mean, I think that's what we're doing. That's what we desire to have, is to be able to experience God. We don't have to wait until we die and go to heaven after the return. Let's experience God in the here and now. And yeah, we may make mistakes along the way, but so what? Our hearts are pure. Our hearts are desirous to just do good, right? And, you know, a lot of other scriptures that, you know, we could go to, which I'm not going to do here tonight. I feel like I've probably shared enough so far. But Jesus talked about God and his Father and introducing people to the fatherhood of God many, many, many times in his ministry. And, you know, we don't live, it sometimes gets confusing because it seems like all of Christianity is all about Jesus focused. Jesus focused. You know, Jesus said, I do nothing of my own. I only do those things from the Father. There's only one way to know the Father, and that's through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. The will of the Father. I mean, on and on and on. John 4:24, remember that? They that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. When he talked about the Lord's Prayer, what were the first two words? Our Father. Our Father. And yet today, people still pray to Jesus. You know, it's so confusing. It's amazing, guys. And so I encourage you to, you know, maybe pursue this a little bit further on your own. It's something that I'm, you know, really thinking about, praying about. And maybe part of my cry in my heart is because I never really knew my earthly father. I don't even know who that is to this day. And so, you know, to enter into a relationship with God, who is the Father, and the Father of creation, and the Father of the Spirit, and the Father of those that he has fathered. That's you and I. We are his sons and daughters. And we got a lot of life to live in front of us. So let's live it in partnership with God. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you that you watch over us, you take care of us, you know us better than we know ourselves. Father, you know everything about us. You know our little weird idiosyncrasies. You know our habits. You know all the things that make us us. And, yep, you still put your hand up and say, yep, I want to work with them. And, boy, I know we don't deserve it, and that's just got to be in your grace and mercy. But, We do want to continue to learn, continue to grow, and that anything that we do and the testimonies that we give, Father, really, truly do bring glory to you. And we thank you for a great night of being together here with everybody. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.